godless world, we move to our society's family setup. In Happy Family, you have each member knowing their role and working hard to serve God and others in that role. The scriptures are clear on our roles, so we might ask at the outset, why has man gotten away from these roles? Jeremiah 10:23 says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. This verse is the correct understanding of the nature of man. Our headlines in the news these days are dominated by gender identity, rights for certain groups, things that are not in our Bibles. And we know that it is said that it will be this way before Christ returns. Man doing whatever he sees fit in his eyes and not focusing on God's plan. In Matthew, the 24th chapter, we see, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. What we want to continue to look at today is this fact that is repeated over and over in the Bible. It's a fact that is missed in society as a whole and most religious circles out there, that man is totally dependent on God. Man's nature is not good, and that nature left unchecked leads to a lot of the evil that we see around us. The only good in man is when he does what his Creator commands him and seeks God's glory and not his own. Any subject relating to life has to evolve around this fact, our complete dependence on God. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We as Berean Christadelphians are eagerly anticipating a soon coming kingdom on this earth that will be a kingdom that has no crime, no evil, no grief, no sadness. Because of a hope in this kingdom, we can face each day. And as we see, we are commanded to seek this kingdom first, meaning for it to be the most important thing in our lives. And if we do this, all these things shall be added unto you. Well, what things is this verse referring to? The rest of the verses around this verse are, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. These verses mean that believers are not to be concerned with what the non-believers seek. Believers are to focus on God's soon coming kingdom, and if they do this, their basic needs will be met. This world society has lost its way in relation to observing God as the creator and sustainer of life. They do not think that God's needed. The thought process of humanism has grown substantially just in my lifetime. Humanism is an outlook or system of thought attaching prime importance to human rather than divine or supernatural matters. Humanist beliefs stress the potential value and goodness of human beings, emphasize common human needs, and seek solely rational ways of solving human problems. Humanism, as we see, is directly opposed to what the Bible teaches. We see from the very definition that it stresses that there is good in man by himself and that he has the ability to direct his steps, that he isn't in need of his creator. This thought isn't new. We see in the beginning of our Bibles the origin of sin when Adam and Eve ate of the fruit of the tree that they were commanded not to eat. The first sin was committed, and that sin led to man dying. Fools, says the proverb, make a mock at sin. Proverbs 14:9. The same description of being a fool is scripturally applied to any who in their hearts say, there is no God. The unbeliever who denies the existence of God and at the same time any moral responsibility to a creator will be the more likely to discount this fact as not important or outdated thinking than those true believers. Our subject today, any subject worth looking into, has to be based on this fact, that the Bible is the source. Without it, we have what we have today. Only 20% of society believing that the Bible is the literal truth. If we pursue every day with the correct mindset that the Bible is our only infallible guide, our roles that we have that are defined in the scriptures, our days will be full of true joy. What we see in the world is the opposite of that right now. The idea of family has drastically changed in society. The number of homes in the U.S. with traditional nuclear families, that is, married parents with children, is at the lowest point it has ever been, according to recently released data. According to statistics compiled by the U.S. Census Bureau, among the 130 million households in the country, only 17.8% include married couples with kids under 18 years old, which is down from more than 40% in 1970. Humanism is at the heart of why these stats are trending the way they are. People are losing sight of the value of families and our roles that the scriptures plainly call out. Sister Amanda works at the schools in our town, and the other day, there was a book fair that was about to open to the students. There were several books that were not appropriate at this book fair. Too many to count. Our kids are being exposed to social issues that they shouldn't be faced with. Social issues like gender and sexuality that our kids shouldn't even be thinking about, much less taught about. Today's society is focused on humanism and not a fear of our Heavenly Father. The stats on society show that they are going away from the scriptures. Only 60% of society believe that whether you are male or female are determined by how you were born. And that stat is worse with those that are 18 to 29. Half of those aged 18 to 29 say that someone can be a man or a woman even if they were not born that way. We know how absurd this idea is. The reason that we bring it up today is that our children are being raised in the society where their peers around them are accepting of ideas about gender that could not be further from what the scriptures speak about on the subject. Deuteronomy 22:5 says, "The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God." This verse shows that those that act against their gender they were assigned to at birth are an abomination to God. It's clear and simple, so we might ask, why has it gotten so complicated in society? It's hard for our kids in school these days, with some of their peers wanting to identify as something that they're not. We do not get to determine what we are. God does. And it cannot be a clear example of man doing what is right in his own eyes. Man has not only gotten away from the clear call out on our responsibilities from our roles that we see in the Bible, but in a step further in denying his responsibility to his creator, he has tried to change the very premise of his identity. And this is all against the clear teachings that we hold true of the Bible. All of the duties that come from our roles defined in the scriptures can be traced back to the two greatest commandments in scripture. Matthew 22 says, Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." If we are doing our best to follow these commandments, we will naturally be performing our roles. We know this and can see how much we can improve in our roles as we read the scriptures every day. But the reason that we have this talk today is that society has an effect on the brotherhood and our kids that are growing up in the truth. And with this in mind, we cannot focus on roles enough. We want our kids to be happy, and happiness only comes from living a life in the truth that is outlined in the scriptures. Not determining our roles based on our own feelings or what society around us tells us is okay. Today, I thought we would look at the roles outlined in scripture from a perspective on what we are supposed to do, not what we are not allowed to do. We know that a true servant of Christ will be looking at both, but there's so much value in what we should be doing our best to do. The role of man is seen in several places in scriptures. 1 Corinthians 11:3 says, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." Ephesians 5:23 says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church," or ecclesia, called out ones. "And he is the savior of the body." We see here the beautiful picture of the relationship between Christ and those true believers that depend on his word for guidance as it relates to our relationships between men and women. Men have a great responsibility as the head of the house. It's a role that we should embrace and focus on. The reason that society has rebelled against this setup is because men haven't operated correctly in their role. This role doesn't give us the ability to ruthlessly rule over our wives like an evil master. The beautiful relationship of Christ and his bride, the ecclesia, is found in our Ephesians chapter 5. "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the ecclesia and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the ecclesia to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself." This sounds very familiar to the second of the greatest commandments that we read: love thy neighbor as thyself. We see in 1 Timothy, he must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's ecclesia? The chapter in Timothy is to bishops or overseers, but it applies to all of the men in the household of faith. Guys, we have to be the spiritual leaders of our homes. We need to initiate the reading of God's word daily. That's the only way we will truly know how to manage our households, by what is written in the scriptures. Society is full of men that don't recognize this. The truth about it is that our flesh wants to not act on our responsibilities. We want to leave it to someone else. If we're embracing the commandments fully to be the head of our households, our wives would be in a better position to not feel the need to. We see in the beginning of our Bibles in Genesis the curse on the woman for the first sin. Genesis 3:16 says, "Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." The ESV translation is a little clearer. It says, "To the woman he said, I will surely multiply your pain and childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you." We see that women naturally will not want to follow what her husband says, but that it takes a virtuous woman to submit to her husband, just like the beautiful picture of Christ's bride. His ecclesia, or those faithful to him, will want to submit to his commands. Proverbs 31:30, "Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." Women in society do not have a reverence for God and the scriptures. The feminism movement has led to women doing a lot of things that men are commanded to do, and it's complicated things instead of leading to true joy and happiness. The term toxic masculinity has come out of the feminist movement. Men are looked down upon in society for doing what men naturally do as a result of being men. We also see the role of children in society that is very different than the scriptures speak about. Our kids have roles as well. I know that my kids get tired from time to time of me telling them to get in their lane. Society has really messed our children's roles up. Children are making way too many decisions for their families these days. Parents are worried about being too harsh. Society even has labeled the correct biblical view as authoritarian parenting. That sounds really bad, doesn't it? Authoritarian parenting is defined as mom and dad making the rules and children expecting to obediently follow those rules. Imagine that. Doesn't this sound familiar? God makes the rules, and then we're expected to follow those rules. If that is their term, then the best we can do is hope that we're labeled as an authoritarian parent. Today, gaining cooperation from children rather than demanding it is the new parenting norm. There's a quote that sums it up. From the minute they wake up in the morning, kids are making lots of choices and navigating the world just like adults. This is the problem, brothers and sisters. Our kids are not being allowed to be kids. They're being put into adult situations way too early in life. Our kids find comfort and true peace when they're not making the decisions. When they know the rules, the decision to obediently follow those rules instead of disobeying and facing the consequences should be the decision they make, not coming up with the rules. It's easy to see so many humanistic adults walking around as we see them being raised to come up with their own rules. And that leads back into our roles as parents. Now, I've thought a lot about this aspect when writing this talk, and this is an area that I can really focus on. As parents, we have to be intentional, not as a ship lost at sea. We should have a direction for our kids and be involved in that direction. A problem that society has caused is our dependence on technology, as we discussed yesterday, and the parenting decision that we face with exposing our kids to this technology. We know that technology, our phones, our tablets, our computers, are not going away. What we have to do as parents is manage our kids' exposures. We wouldn't let our kids run down to a park a mile away in a bad neighborhood without supervision. But the world tells us it's okay to not be on top of what they're viewing on their devices. And as mentioned earlier, even the very books that are in our public school libraries. The world calls this being a helicopter parent. But if we're not involved with what our kids are exposed to, the world around us will gladly take them from us. The lack of recognition of our roles that are lined out in the pages of our Bibles has led to unhappiness. This unhappiness results in breaches in the relationships in our families. I looked into some statistics for this talk. Close to 50% of marriages will end in divorce. That number is way too high, but what was shocking is that divorce is actually on the decline. It was shocking until I found out that divorce rates aren't going down because people have stronger marriages and are focusing on their spouses more. It's going down because more people are living together and not getting married. The share of adults who have lived with a partner is now higher than the share that have not been married. 78% of those ages 18 to 29 say it's acceptable for an unmarried couple to live together, even if they don't plan on getting married. 78%. The point of all this is that the world has gotten away from the sanctity of marriage and the lasting meanings of the vows that they make to one another and to God on their wedding day. The travesty of a divorce has lasting effects on all those involved. And we could literally spend all day going through the roles that we find in scriptures. The fact is that it is not in us naturally to follow God's clearly lined out plan for how we are to act and the roles that we are given as a result of our gender and our calling. The world around us sees God's commandments on our roles as oppression, but true believers see them as the only way that exists to true comfort and happiness. The fact is that no matter how much we study and focus on our roles in the Bible, we will fall short. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Sin, we know, is a falling short of the divine standard. But we only live in that sin if we deny the fact that it is on us to repent for that sin and work to not commit that sin again. The state of sin or lawlessness is a denial of the declared purpose of God to fill the earth with His glory. That purpose is only found in the complete subjection of the creature to the Creator. And it is this subjection which mankind from Adam onwards has failed to accept. Because God's purpose has been denied, the whole of creation has fallen under a curse which has resulted in great suffering and death. Genesis 3:17-19. Society around us isn't focused on accountability. A stat I came across about divorce says that only around 30% of divorcees say that they could have done better in their relationship so that the divorce didn't happen. 30%. That means that the vast majority of people say that the other party is to blame. We know as Christadelphians the great responsibility that we have to hold ourselves accountable in our roles. Salvation is a very personal thing. There's no denying that. But in service to others in our roles, we should be building one another up. We will see in the next talk the challenge that we face as believers in a world that focuses on tearing one another down. If we focus on our roles outlined in the scriptures more and what others are supposed to do related to their roles less, we will be more pleasing to our Father in heaven. This is the general condition of the world, but God calls those who would please Him to separate themselves from it. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. This concludes our middle talk on society's mishaps with the family setup and our roles that the scriptures call out. Tomorrow we will, Lord willing, look at the joy of the Lord and our great calling and the true peace and happiness that we get from a life lived in the truth. Thanks.